God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Amen. Have you ever been awoken in the middle of the night by anxiety or regret, by thoughts that feel heavy as lead? That time right before the sun comes up, when it's pitch dark and everything is quiet. For many, these are the hours when the thing we said to our partner or to our child, or the phone call we made without thinking about it deeply first, or the money we have spent that we don't really have, or that email we sent when we really should have saved a draft and taken a walk first. This tends to be the time that all of those actions turn to thoughts that come churning like waves, crashing on the shore and awake us from slumber. My friend Marcy and I joke about this all too typical occurrence. We call it our 3 a.m. rumblings with God. I'll leave my phone on, we say to each other, in case the rumblings become too loud and the feelings too heavy, the crash of the waves too intense, and we need another voice in the conversation other than our own. There must be some neurological explanation for this, because I know Marcy and I are not the only ones that experience it. But right before the light comes into the world, the thoughts that emerge can be overwhelming and lonely at 3 a.m. in the darkness. And Jesus says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world." In our gospel today, Jesus has also been roused from his slumber by a man experiencing his own rumblings with God. Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a man of great standing in the community, comes to Jesus in the cover of night. Now, Nicodemus is only mentioned in the Gospel of John, and John spends quite a bit of time with Nicodemus. The Gospel of John, more than any other gospel, shows Jesus using the tool of conversation to bring the good news to people. Whereas other gospels show Jesus using the tools of miracles and parables, John shows Jesus talking deeply with people about their life and God's power in it. So Nicodemus shows up having found Jesus in the middle of the night with questions that he has been rumbling with in the dark. "How does one become born again, Jesus?" says Nicodemus. "Surely," he says, "you don't mean we emerge again from our mother's womb." Jesus says, "How is it that you are such a great Pharisee, such a learned person, and yet you do not understand spiritual birth?" Dang, Jesus, that's harsh. First, Jesus is kicking over tables in the temple, and then he's calling people out for being oblivious and ignorant. For real, though, Jesus was just awoken from sleep by this guy's existential crisis, so who can blame him for being a bit snarky? But eventually, Jesus grounds himself and he says to the anxious and troubled night visitor, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that all who believed may have eternal life." This moment feels to me like when my daughter would wake me up at night crying because she had heard thunder, and I would say something soothing like, "Thunder is just God bowling." Seriously, I told her that one time and it totally worked. "Shh, shh." I said, "It's just God bowling. Go back to sleep." She really liked the idea of God having a bowling match with the saints in heaven. And she said to me the next morning, "Do you think that tonight God could use a bowling lane that's not right over our house?" But Jesus, having totally rocked the mind of Nicodemus, gives him this deeply generous truth about God. Even after Jesus himself has been quite snarky with Nicodemus, he says that God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus tells Nicodemus, who came to him at night, that those who are living in the truth will come toward the light, and all of those who do not yet live in the truth will remain in the night to hide. Jesus is holding up a mirror to Nicodemus and is saying, "Hey, what are you doing crawling around at night, friend?" Nicodemus risked a lot to come to Jesus, even in the night. He is risking his reputation and on many levels his physical safety, because remember, just before this, Jesus is throwing tables over in the temple, so he is not making friends among the religious leaders here. But in this conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus, Jesus calls Nicodemus to consider, "Why are you moving about in the dark of night? Why not join me and my disciples in our work in the light of day? What do you have to hide?" Jesus challenges Nicodemus. He holds him accountable and he questions his motivations, but he does not condemn him. How many of us at times conflate being questioned or being held accountable with condemnation? How many times do we hide ourselves and our actions in the dark of night because we fear judgment? Look, to understand this gospel isn't that hard. God sent Jesus to save the world, not condemn it. This is God's covenant with us. God has sent a Savior who will teach us how to make our world on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is telling Nicodemus here that if he does the work of God, that he has no need to hide in the night, and that he'll need to be willing to risk coming out into the light. Easy to understand, but hard to do, because deep down, Nicodemus is avoiding taking risks because he fears being condemned. Nicodemus, in his rumblings with God, has a deeply misguided theology. Nicodemus thinks God will condemn him, but Jesus says, "No, I came to save the world, not condemn it." Can you imagine if that verse from our scripture was as overly used as John 3:16 often is? Yes, we all find comfort in "God so loved the world," but what if we heard God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save it, at every football game and on billboards across the South? What if we truly understood that, yes, God so loved the world, and that this love is not a condemning love, but is a saving love? What if we grounded ourselves in that understanding of the love of God? I wonder if we might be more willing to come out into the light of day with our whole selves, our broken selves, our sinful selves, our wounded selves. I am curious if that understanding of the love of God might liberate us to see our failures and limitations as what saves us rather than what condemns us. You see, the story doesn't end here with Nicodemus. It is just the beginning of his relationship with Jesus. Later, Nicodemus advocates for those in power to really listen to Jesus before they judge him. And in the end, Nicodemus shows up to help wash Jesus's body with expensive oil and myrrh. And he does all of that in the light of day. Nicodemus gets it. That conversation with Jesus changes everything for him. in that being held accountable, he hears the good news. That conversation, yes, began in the dark of night, but he hears the truth and it sets him free, free to join Jesus in the work of saving the world in the light of day. Friends, our failures and brokenness, while they may wake us up in the middle of the night and cause us to rumble with God, do not lead to God condemning us. If we choose to learn from them, if we make the choice to come into the light, to be in relationship with Jesus, they are actually the very thing that will end up saving us. What is God calling us during this last few moments of our Lenten journey to bring out into the light? What rumblings and waves crashing are simply too great a burden for us to hold alone in the night? And that Jesus is asking us to bring to him instead of rumbling alone. What would we have to risk to be so brave as to be so vulnerable with Jesus and with our community? Our appearances, our reputation? How might our lives be saved if we grounded ourselves in the deep understanding and knowledge that there simply is no truth about us that can make us unworthy of God's love. That God does not wish to condemn, but only to save. Now, I'm not just saying that to shh you and get you to go back to sleep. Just the opposite. I'm saying that to you to get us to wake up fully. To wake up to what truth about ourselves we need to hear from Jesus and our neighbors that can save us. To allow ourselves to be fully known and loved fully so that we can follow Jesus fully into the light of day. And we do not have to do that risky work alone. We can call on each other and Jesus in the middle of the night. We can begin to rumble with God. And we can be in conversations in the dark. The dark is where many good things first take root, but always things flower and grow in the light. Friends, you are loved fully and completely just as you are. You will not be condemned for your truth, but being brave enough to learn from your truth, you may be saved. Those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. Amen.